Words can never express my heart on such days, and I apologize if Jeremiah comes out. He often does on such moments as these. But I am moved by the gratitude and the intentionality and the affection that is so often shown on these days. But I just want to emphasize today, the feeling is mutual. Lisa and I love and respect and honor and have so much affection for all of you. The body of Christ is made up of you. Every one of us is necessarily a member of that body. And I want to encourage us today for a few moments from the Word of God to look at how the Word encourages us to push into that mutual level of affection. And I say we push into that because, frankly, the world despises this behavior. The world pushes into the corporate mindset, dog-eat-dog world, yes, even in the church. Charge forward, zeal, and that corporate leadership mindset finds its way into the church. But that's not the image we see from the Scriptures. We see it in Peter and Paul both. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's talking to the elders. He says, your job as the elders is to feed the flock of God which is among you. Take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. He says, don't be lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. Feed, serve as a servant leader, and demonstrate that as well. And the Apostle Paul really demonstrates that here in Romans chapter 1 this morning, where we're looking at verses 8 through 12, this idea of the heart of affection that he demonstrates for the church at Rome when he's never even met them. And yet I see in this the encouragement that we should be pushing into affection, mutual affection, affection from top down and affection from the bottom up. So we're just going to look at these five verses here today and just pull them apart and say a few words about each one, and then we'll go fellowship together. Amen. Let me pray again. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for the body of Christ that's in this place. Thank you for those who you have called to be members of this church here, Lord. Whether or not that's a member on paper or not, you know. What's most important is that you've called them here for such a time as this. And we just ask that you would speak to us from your word today, that you would help us to understand that we are called to not operate as the world operates, to not strive to put ourselves forward, but instead to serve as servants, one for each other, and to be willing to let down a tear, to be willing to give a hug, be willing to show affection one for another. Glorify yourself in the study, Lord, we ask yet again in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to start here looking at verse 8, what the Apostle Paul starts with. He starts with, and he goes right to the heart of the issue. He says in verse 8, the idea here is the affection starts from gratitude. Verse 8 reads, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What more could a pastor ask for than that the sheep of his pasture had faith that was spoken of throughout the whole world? Isn't that the goal of the gospel in a nutshell? That our faith, as small of as a body that we are, it echoes out through the cosmos. That's the call, and that's what Paul praises the church at Rome for. And that is the goal of the church universal, and hey, yes, we have a ways to go, but friends, we're doing pretty good. We're doing pretty good. I want to encourage you with that this morning, that when we have friends of the church who come in, who know you, say Pastor Sean, who will be with us tonight, or Brother Brent Smith, who's a dear friend of the congregation, they recognize. And anytime they're here with us, they say, there's something different about Waynesboro Bible Church. They say, coming to Waynesboro is really, it's like coming home. The Lord is doing something different here. Amongst you all, he says, I'm with family. That's something different that they can tell. And they're in a lot of churches. I want to encourage you in that push into that affection. Push into that love that you have for those who come in, because your faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. But let me give you a very tangible way that your faith is being spoken of throughout the whole world. This is unbelievable to me. But did you know that one of your missionaries named his children after you? Did you know that? One of our missionaries to Kenya, Africa, reminded us of this update in July of 23, last summer. He said this. He wrote this in his update, his quarterly update. He said, "I have been praying for all friends at the Waynesboro Bible Church daily. All my children I named after the Waynesboro Bible Church friends, namely Bob Fitzsira, his firstborn, or Edward Schuett, his secondborn, or Cheryl Shedradecker, my only daughter." He says, "These three are my only children. I am totally Waynesboro Bible Church member. Continue praying for me, friends, in Christ, Evans Sirasira, your missionary to Kenya, Africa." Friends, I have nothing else to say to that other than that is Romans 1:8. Your faith is spoken of throughout all the world. The testimony of Waynesboro Bible was so strong that when Pastor Fitz met Evans Sirasira, and however that relationship founded, that Evans was so moved. So moved by the love of this church that he has, from that day forward, named his children after faithful members of this church. Friends, your faith is now truly being spoken of throughout all the world. What more could a pastor desire to hear than the fulfillment of that command from this passage? But Paul goes on. And the second thing he reminds those disciples there at Rome is the necessity to undergird the ministry by prayer. We see this in verse 9. It says, "God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And this is a pastoral responsibility. The Apostle Peter said this at the beginning of the book of Acts. He says, it's not good for us to leave the word of God in prayer and to go wait tables. We need to emphasize prayer. We need to emphasize praying for the congregants, emphasize praying for the ministry. Every effort of this church needs to be bathed in prayer. And I know it's been said before, but I'm going to say it again here tonight. Pastor Gentry prayed for his successor from the moment he started preaching at Waynesboro Bible Church. 20 years ago, when I may not have even been saved yet, he was praying for the next person to fill this pulpit. That is the biblical mindset of a forward-thinking preacher. That it's not the corporate mindset. It says, "God, I have no way to control this man. I don't know who you're even going to pick out. I don't know who's out there, but you know, Lord." And I look back at my life and I think of all the ways things could have gone wrong. And I say, well, why didn't they? Because of prayer. Because of the faithful prayers of a man who I wouldn't meet for 15 years down the road had been praying for me for that long. And that is carrying the ministry forward in prayer. We all know we don't continue by might or by power, but by the Spirit of God that is working in our midst. The Spirit says to the church of Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, says, "I know your works. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength." Friends, that's us. That's most of the congregations of America that have just a little strength. Physically speaking, we're always going to be on the cusp of knowing, are we going to have enough people to do this ministry? Is there going to be enough finances in the account? How is this going to move forward? That's a little strength. How are these budgets going to balance this year? That's a little strength. But we have a little strength, but God is powerful in our weakness. That's the gospel call. Time and again, we see the gospel speak of this, the Apostle Paul speaking about this, that God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. The Spirit goes on in Revelation 3, there says, "You have a little strength, but you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name." Our call is in what strength we have to be found obedient to the word of God, the obedient of faith for his name's sake throughout all the nations. And we know that the power of the Lord will be made perfect in our weakness. And what that means is that we're always going to be struggling. We should always be driven to our knees in prayer, one for another, as the Apostle Paul says here in this passage, mention you always. Always we're going to be driven to our knees. May we be faithful to remind ourselves that. There's so many prayers that we could pray. We pray the prayer of Jabez in 1 Chronicles 4. Jabez calls on the God of Israel and says, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coasts, that thy hand might be with me, that thou would keep me from evil and that it may not grieve me." And God granted that which he had requested. That is my prayer for Waynesboro Bible Church, that he would enlarge our coasts. How would he enlarge our coasts? I don't know, but he's doing it through Quincy. He's opening doors of opportunity. We're seeing doors open that men cannot shut, and men couldn't really open them either. But God is seeing fit to make his glory resound in this area through your faithfulness, through your faithful prayers and your obedience to the Lord as well. He is enlarging our coasts. He answered the prayer of Jabez. He's answering your prayers as well. May it be that we would be as the disciple Jude, the apostle Jude says in Jude verses 20 and 21, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will know we are Christians by our love." May it be that that is our testimony before this watching community. And may it be, I might say it every week we're together, but may it be that we are ready for a reason for the hope that is in us. That we are ready to share that truth because, yes, we want to shine like a city on a hill. We want our example to make an open door to share the good news. That's what it does. Our example and our lifestyle of righteousness, righteous living, should make the watching world question why we do what we do and say, hey, that person's life is different. And then they come to us and they say, hey, why are you different? And we can say, well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And to be ready to share that hope with all joy that's before us. It's a spiritual battle, friends. We need spiritual strength for us. May we remember each other always, every moment of every day. Paul goes on and he speaks of the heart desirous of fellowship in verse 10. He says, "Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you." Right? Paul hadn't even met the church at Rome yet, but he so desired to be with them and to equip them in the work of the ministry that was before them. This verse means a lot to me as well. That idea of coming unto you is very special to me because that was a burden that the Lord gave me for you. Now, many men, when they're called into the ministry, it looks different for everybody. Everyone kind of gets brought into the work in a different capacity. But the way the Lord led me here and led me to you wasn't just a general call into the ministry overall. No, it was up through Pastor Gentry, and then it was very specifically to this church. And I remember Lisa and I had conversations sometimes, like, what am I going to do if we make the vote and God has another plan for us? I was like, I literally don't want to go anywhere else. I have no heart to go to any other congregation. God gave me a heart for you, for this region, to preach the word of God. That wasn't there beforehand. That was from him specifically. And so he helped me to make ways that I would be able to be equipped for you. Through the opening of the Fellowship of Bible Churches training program at the same exact time that I was being led into these conversations. And that would be a way for me to learn you, to learn your history, to be connected with the members of the fellowship. Because we're not from this area. We don't know what you went through, how the history of this church was formed. But that helped me to learn the culture, to learn the lingua, even to learn your hermeneutic. I didn't even know exactly how a literal hermeneutic worked back then. And we'll get into that more later, right? There's your word, Duane. All of this was to come to you, to know you, to be equipped in a way that's going to bless you. But that's from the Lord. He gave us that burden, and we need to push into that together. And now that I'm here, I want to be with you. You know how often I talk about fellowship? Again, that's one of those things that we probably talk about every week. Koinonia, sharing all things in common, our necessity to push into fellowship because it's one of the four characteristics of the early church, but also because it's just good for us. It's necessary for us to be together. Yet, hey, there's a lot of good cooks in the congregation as well, and that helps while we're breaking bread together that the food is good. But of course, it's deeper than that. I want to be with you because your faith strengthens me, and I trust that my faith strengthens you, and I know that your faith strengthens each other. That's the call to action for us, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but as you see the times darkening, so much the more make sure to gather together. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, "Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And that's what it's about, friends, that we are equipping each other. We are strengthening one another by our faith. A couple years ago, I started a study on this with the men in the men's breakfast. Just say, "Hey guys, I know you're probably out of your comfort zone in sharing your testimony or sharing just a word of God, but I would love to hear from you." And the response was tremendous. We have men now who just teach on a regular basis who hadn't done so before, but they took that exhortation and they ran with it. And that is a blessing to a pastor's heart. But it's not just that Bible study. How many individuals have stepped out into new opportunities this year? We already mentioned Quincy. Quincy has been a tremendous door of opportunity that the Lord has opened, that there are so many who are serving in now faithfully, and the word of God is going out to those who maybe not be able to get out into a regular church service. Praise the Lord for your faithfulness, for all of you who are doing that. That men's Bible study, hey, with the Wednesday night Sunshine Girls Club that's now been meeting for a couple of months, there are ladies who are now teaching that who never taught before either. But they said, "Hey, I got something to share. I got a little skill I can do, a little skit, a little craft I can do with the girls, and I can share them a Bible verse." And they're stepping out into faith, and it's blessing them, and it's blessing the children for that as well. Because at Vacation Bible School, I know there are those of you also who stepped out into new areas there. And of course, we mentioned Viper, Kentucky, and I know most of you have said how out of your comfort zone you are. And we remind ourselves again that the majority of those who went on that trip, it was their first time missions trip. They had never been on a trip before, but were willing to step out in faith and say, "I don't know what I'm going to do, God, but you're going to work powerfully through my weakness." Because that's what he is faithful to do. And seeing those actions and those ministries move forward is just something that moves a shepherd's heart to tears of joy. And so I thank you for your willingness in each of those areas. He goes on and he talks about the yearning for edification in verse 11. He says, "I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." We're reminded yet again of how spiritual gifts work. If you get a gift, you often think, "Oh, it's for me," right? That's how we think in America. No, that's not biblical spiritual gifts. If you are gifted in a way spiritually, that is for everybody's encouragement. So if you have a gifting and you're sitting on it, you're doing so in disobedience to the word of God. We are all called to play our part, to use whatever gifting the Lord has given us. 1 Corinthians 12:7, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." That means every one of us receives a spiritual gift. And that gift is for with all. Everybody. Everyone in the church is meant to be equipped or built up with that skill set. And that's the call to action. The pastor's desire is that to see that you are using your gifting in some capacity. And that as you step out in faith, say, "I can't do this on my own physical well-being, my own physical strength, but I trust that God's going to do it through his Spirit working in me," and he will. Because he's faithful to accomplish that which he said he's going to do. Paul understands the necessity for us all to be built up. Edify, to be strengthened up, to have the foundations built, because we understand the times that we live in are dark and getting darker. That's the biblical instruction about the end times, that doesn't get better and better, it gets darker and darker. And we see that happening around us. 2 Timothy 4:3, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears." Now, we need to understand that we need to all be able to play Bereans, to do our own part, to study the Word of God, to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth on our own, to know what it is that the Lord would have us to do in these last days that we live in. We need to stand on the truth. Because we know that there are an increasing number of false gospels that are taking place outside of our doors. And Paul was clear in Galatians 8:1, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which is preached now, let him be accursed. There is only one gospel, and it's a simple gospel. We need to cling to the simplicity of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, and wherein you stand, I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he accomplished, is what we need to cling to. So many churches today are stepping out of even talking about the Word of God or talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear just the phrase faith tossed around so nonchalantly today without a connection to Jesus. And we need to come back to the simplicity of the gospel call. Because if we walk away from the gospel, we have nothing. Paul also says the necessity of the gospel. Again, these are verses from 1 Corinthians 15. He says, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. And they which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of them that slept. We have the power of Christ available to us and living inside of us because of that gospel call. We remind ourselves again of the necessity of the gospel, that we would be established on it and on the Word of God alone. We studied Romans chapter 1, verse 5 last week, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And it's our desire that you would all be established, that as the cloud cover gets dark and as the tide rolls in, you would not be tossed aside one way or the other by the waves that are crashing down on Western civilization, but that you would stand on the word of truth. Don't let other philosophies in. Don't let anything in that's going to sway you from the gospel that you have received. Cling to it and be stabilized on it. Don't let anything else in. And finally, the point at the culmination of everything is verse 12. We are aware and we understand that this is not one-sided. This is not just a pastor's heart down, but this is mutual affection that we are called to. And Paul says, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. We are members one of another. We are the same body. If you stub your toe, the whole body suffers in some capacity. That same of our body of Christ as well. Your words of appreciation are healing words. I thank you for them. But your comments of encouragement, they bring life. But friends, truly it is your faith that is what ultimately brings the comfort. And that's what Paul says here. It's the mutual faith. It's the willingness to walk in obedience. If you say, hey, pastor, thanks for that message. I really appreciate it. But then go outside and do the opposite. That's not encouraging. But it's when the children take the word and the Spirit molds it into their heart and that truth changes them from the inside out. And we see growth. As Pam has emphasized, we see growth that we are all called to produce fruit for the Lord. That as we're yielded to his Spirit, he will produce fruit in our lives if we are yielded to walk in obedience to what the word says. We do that, God will be glorified through it. He says here that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith. Amazing, that idea, that phrase, mutual comfort, mutual faith. It's the word that is given to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Greek and in the Gospel of John is called the Parakletos, the comforter, the one that comes alongside you When you're in those dark and difficult moments and he walks with you with his arm around you while you're walking through the mud, and the Spirit is right there encouraging you to stay the course, to get back on track and to walk with the Lord. That's what we are called to do as well. That's what the Spirit says here. This is mutual comfort. We are joined together by that same Spirit. We have that Spirit in us, yes. And he is right alongside us, me, personally, yes. But he's also right alongside you, personally. That means that we are one. We are all one. Deeper than the world could understand, deeper than any familial bond, we are truly one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And that truth means that when you suffer, I suffer. And I know that when I suffer, you suffer. And when you are rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. And I trust that that's true of you all as well. And that's why we need to be together. Because when we're together, we can share these life situations that we're going through, and we can weep together, and we can rejoice together, and we can play the part of the Parakletos for each other. The Spirit is there, but we need to be there for each other as well. I just want to thank you again for the encouragement that you all are to me, and for the willingness that you each demonstrate to not just hear the Word of God, but to apply it to your life. I want to thank you for all that you do and love. I want you to thank you for all that you are by grace, but I want to thank you for that which you are willing to turn into by walking in obedience to the faith. Faith's obedience. And I just encourage us that as we go forward today, that we do so with tremendous affection and love for each other, doing all things for the sake of his name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time that you've given us in your word here today. I thank you for Waynesboro Bible Church. I thank you for the fact that their faith is spoken of throughout all the world. And yet, Lord, we know we have work to do. We know that there's more that you're calling us out to. We know that you are going to continue to enlarge our coasts. And that means that there's more work to do, and we praise you for it. Because we're stepping out in our weakness. We're stepping out in areas that we don't have the physical strength to do, but by your Spirit, you will show yourself powerful. Thank you, Lord, for the affection that has been demonstrated here today, for the appreciation, and may it be truly understood within the heart of all those that are seated here together that we are one in the Spirit. May there be joy and affection to live one another in the bond of unity, deeper than we can understand in the physical sense, that we truly are brothers and sisters united in Christ, not just here in this place, but for all of eternity. And as we understand what eternity means, may it continue to draw us closer together, to be willing to lay aside the burdens, to lay aside any wrongs that we've been received, and to forgive and to forgive and to love and to love and to walk forward in unity. Thank you again for your body in this place, and ask that you would continue to glorify yourself through it as you have for the past 50 plus years. Thank you for the testimony that we have in the community. May it continue and grow as the darkness outside gets darker. I make these requests in the holy and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.